Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious God, open our hearts and our spirits to receive your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And they returned to Galilee, to their hometown of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him. Welcome to the first Sunday of the Christmas season. Or as most people see it, the first Sunday after Christmas. And for us, it's the day of celebration, preparation, whatever, for the coming of the new year. It's New Year's Eve, and there are many plans, things to happen. This past week has been one gigantic sigh where we all began to get back to whatever was really normal for us. As the excitement of the Christmas services, the mystery and surprises of last weekend, all the culinary excess of the Christmas dinners and the parties are all but memories now. Rubbish bins have been filled, probably emptied, of crumpled wrapping paper and boxes. Sale signs are in every store imaginable. And some folks have already gone back to work, or will at least this Tuesday. Now most of us are concerned not so much with the entrance, the advent of the coming master of Christmas, but rather with that MasterCard that may show up in January. Perhaps Mary and Joseph experienced somewhat of a lull similar to ours. Yes, they were filled with excitement over the birth of their new son. Although it had been a hard trip to Bethlehem and Mary had given birth in the back shack behind the inn, there had been lots of fanfare with angels singing and the visit of a bunch of rowdy shepherds. But here they were now, after all the glamour and excitement of being chosen by God for the big entry of the Messiah into humankind. Now they found themselves with no sign of the angels, living in a strange town with a newborn baby, and knowing they had several donkey rides ahead of them before they would get back home to Nazareth. Suddenly, the mundane things of life were reappearing as the baby needed to be fed and have his diaper changed again and again. It is easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we as Christians should be able to hold on to the excitement and joy of Christmas Day. You would think that somehow the buzz we get as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus and his Savior, that would be a normal everyday experience for us now. You would think now life should be one big spiritual high. But that isn't what happens. And I'm not sure it's supposed to. On a later occasion, years following Jesus' birth, at the top of a mountain where Jesus was transfigured, Jesus spelled it out quite clearly to his disciples. He said, "You can't set up camp and hang out on this mountaintop. You can't always live in mountaintop experiences. You must go back down. You must go back to the normal run-of-the-mill world, with all of its ups and its downs, its joys and its sorrows." And so as we face the aftermath of Christmas and the returning to normal life, it's rather appropriate that the gospel should tell us they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. Normal. Routine, usual, every day. These are words that are not usually filled with excitement. In fact, they seem to be just the opposite. Getting back to usual is not something that we strive for. It's those big moments that we look forward to celebrate and be uplifted. You see, for most of us, and I include myself, all too often we have tried building our spirituality around all of those big moments, those dramatic experiences, things like Christmas and Easter, Pentecost, other things like church camp and retreats and maybe even vacation Bible school. Big, intense experiences where a lot of energy was generated and we felt really close to God, really excited about being a Christian. And we usually felt that our life now was going to be changed forever. However, more often than not, it turned out that forever lasted maybe 6 or 7 days. Like it or lump it, trying to develop a healthy, meaningful relationship with God based only upon all those big experiences is like trying to develop rock-hard abdominal muscles by going to the gym 3 times a year. What it actually takes is ongoing discipline and a more regular rhythm that you can get into that becomes beneficial. So what's all this got to do with the gospel reading? Well, let's go back and take a look. Let's start with Mary and Joseph. You would reckon that after all the dramatic experiences of God and angels and miracles and shepherds and all of that what we hear in the story, that they'd be ready to start their own religion, their own group of followers, that they'd be ready to start off on their own, that they would be energized beyond belief and they would know that they were the true way to go. And we all know that there are many people who are willing to follow at moment's notice, anyone who's got a new idea or a new strategy. But Mary and Joseph were not so inclined. They were not seeking any notoriety of their own. In fact, as we read in the scriptures, it was only 8 days after the birth that they were picking up the familiar rituals of those people and having the child circumcised and given his name. It was the very first act of dedicating him to God. And then Luke tells us that after 40 days, we again see them complying with another time-honored religious tradition of Israel, and they were taking the young child to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to make the customary sacrifices of thanksgiving for the child and for the purification of the parents. This was not really stuff of big events. It wasn't high drama. It wasn't religious ecstasy. This was common garden variety faithfulness to the prayers and the little rituals and observances that make up the spirituality of the ebb and flow of everyday life. And it is just such faithful observance that, when carried out in a genuine response of gratitude to God, that over the weeks and months can reshape your soul and conform you ever increasingly to the image of Christ. The story that was read this morning goes on to give us 2 examples of people whose faithful dedication day by day to the development of their spirituality resulted in quite an extraordinary ability to perceive the subtle movements of the Spirit of God. Simeon is described as righteous and devout, and is one on whom the Holy Spirit rested. You only get to be described as devout if you practice a regular pattern of devotion to God exhibited in spiritual disciplines in things like prayer and scripture reading and contemplation or meditation. Simeon's years of devout practice have so opened him to the inner world of the Spirit and so attuned him to see deep within the surface, to see beyond the appearance of things, that when an ordinary-looking couple came to town with an ordinary baby, to the temple to do the ordinary things that Israel required with their newborn child, it was only then that Simeon is able to pick this one out from the crowd to know that there is something different about him. Most of us would have seen nothing more than one more cute baby coming into the temple, with slightly bewildered parents going through a standard infant presentation ceremony. But Simeon appears to be very perceptive. He had fine-tuned his faculties and immersed himself in Scripture and in a life of prayer. And he sees in this child the salvation prepared by God, a light to the Gentiles and the glory to God's people. And in a rather fitting tribute to Simeon's faithfulness, his prayer, recorded as we found it this morning in Luke, has been picked up in most every Christian tradition that practices daily community prayer as one of the prayers that's used at the close of the day. Now, Lord, let your servant rest in peace, for you have kept your promise. With my own eyes, I have seen the salvation you prepared for all your people. A similar example of faithfulness is given to us in Anna. She's described as a prophet and the daughter of Phanuel. 84 years of age and widowed, probably since her mid-20s, if not before. We are told that she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. This almost certainly does not mean that she was on her knees for 24 hours a day for 60 years. But perhaps she lived in some staff quarters at the temple, performed various services that needed to be done, and participated in worship as it happened in that way. And certainly her life was punctuated by prayer and the rhythm of the day. Anna, too, like Simeon, has through her lifelong immersion in Scripture and in prayer developed a very prophetic ability to see what is really going on, to see beneath the surface of everyday events taking place around her. She too sees in this rather ordinary little religious observance with these two parents the long-expected Savior of the world. There's not much really happening in the lesson that we find in this morning's reading. It's just things getting back to normal after the routine of celebration of Christmas. But in the settling back, we are given these little snapshots of God at work. First, we see a newborn baby already being introduced to the rhythms and the devotions of faithful people. And at the end of the account, we are told that back in Nazareth, he grew and became strong and developed in wisdom and in favor with God. Secondly, we're told of two elderly people whose lives have been shaped and refined, not by the big, high-energy events, but by the constant rhythm of prayer and listening to the Scriptures, and whose experience of life and appreciation of everything that goes around is consequently much deeper in their hearts. I have a feeling that as we return to normal after the hype and the joy of Christmas, And as we contemplate the new year just beginning, that there is a lot to ponder in this picture of everyday spirituality. Have you made a New Year's resolution? Have you pledged yourself to do anything in particular? Have you done anything about a resolution about your spirituality? Oh, most folks seem to resolve that they're going to pray more, that they're going to read the Bible more, but unfortunately that usually doesn't last very long, especially once when they get into Leviticus, it's just, no. But if you're willing to take and learn a lesson from Simeon and Anna, if you are serious or want to be serious about opening yourself up to the very Spirit of God, if you are willing to create a new normal that isn't built upon all of the big events of life, but rather a life that's filled with faithfulness, then I commend you to commit half an hour, 15 minutes maybe, at a regular time in a regular place, and establish some consistency and rhythm for your spirit, to open it up to God, to let God move in, and to let God fill you with wonder and mystery and with all the things that we think are present in all of those high moments. I invite you to open yourselves to that still, small voice. If you are willing to look to a new normal rather than to the big moments, I believe I can stick out my neck and guarantee that by this time next year, you will be different. That you will have seen God doing significant things in your life. I don't guarantee that you'll live happily ever after. That's Walt Disney's job. But you will be following in the footsteps of one who grew in wisdom and in stature and in divine favor with God. And in the ordinary time between the big events, you could do a lot worse. Open yourself. Return to a new normal. Welcome God in. And grow in stature and faith with God. Amen.